himself for our sins in his body upon the cross.
I saw a mysterious personage in front of me.
Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ on behalf of his body, which is the church.
And I saw that my hands and feet had holes in them and were bleeding profusely.
If then we have died with Christ,
from that day on, I have been mortally wounded.
We believe that we shall also live with him. By his wounds you have been healed.
Padre Pio, the priest who bore the wounds of Christ.
Hello, my name is Father Andrew Apostoli. I'm a member of the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal. I'd like to welcome all of you today to our series entitled Padre Pio, the Priest Who Bore the Wounds of Christ. I'd like to greet you with a little greeting of St. Francis. May the Lord give you his peace. Someone has said that there were two places that were symbolic in the life of Padre Pio. One was the altar, and the other was the confessional. Today we'd like to focus in our talk on Padre Pio's great compassion, centered especially in his role as a great confessor, as a spiritual father to many. Many people who came to him, people who wrote to him, in contact with him in various ways, looked to him for spiritual guidance, encouragement, and just the wisdom necessary on the spiritual journey. Padre Pio's great work of the confessional is certainly a very important part of the Church's mission. Pope John Paul II has stressed the importance of confession. He says that in this time, we're losing a sense of sin. People don't realize that they offend God, and so they're doing wrong but not aware of it. And he also has, in many times, reminded priests that no matter what other good works they may be doing, if these works are taking them away from the work of the confessional, let other people do those works. Because others can do those works, but only priests can hear confessions. And so he reminds them of the importance of the work of the confessional. And certainly we could look to Padre Pio as a kind of almost patron saint of priestly confessors. Somewhat like a curé of ours, St. John Vianney, who spent many, many hours hearing confessions every day, whose prayers, whose fasting, whose even the attacks of the devil, the sufferings that he endured, he offered all for the conversion of sinners. When he had gone to ours, that little church in France, people told him he'd have nothing to do. By the time he left ours, there were about 10 trains a day leaving Paris to bring the people who wanted to go to confession to that priest. So Padre Pio, along with the Curia of Ars, is a beautiful example of a great confessor. Padre Pio spent as much as 15 hours a day hearing confessions. He would hear the men's confessions at certain times during the day, and he would hear women's confessions at others. In fact, sometimes on some days he only heard men's confessions. He would spend about 5 days a week hearing the men's confessions and only about 2 days a week for the women's confessions. And the reason he did that is because he knew the women in southern Italy would go to other confessors. But the men, you know, the men didn't go to confession to too many priests, but they went to him. And so he spent more days of the week hearing men's confessions. Even when he was in his old age, feeble and tired, he still tried to spend 2 hours a day at hearing confessions. Now, going to confession to Padre Pio was not just like going to confession in any other church. You just didn't walk in. You had to go there, and make sure you had a certain amount of time to spend at the friary. Because, you see, there was a friar, a brother, who was assigned to the task all day long of giving out tickets for people to go to confession to Padre Pio. Sometimes you go to the deli and they give you a number and they'll call your number and that's your turn to be waited on, taken care of. Well, the same thing happened with Padre Pio. There was a brother giving out tickets all day long. And so people had to wait for days. I remember seeing on one film an interview with a man who had gone to confession to Padre Pio. And this man said he had waited about 7 days to go to confession to Padre Pio. And when he went in, Padre Pio said to him, when was your last confession? The man didn't know. I guess he didn't spend those 7 days examining his conscience too clearly. But Padre Pio, you know, said to him, how long ago was your last confession? And he said, well, maybe 10, 15 years ago. And Padre Pio said to him, where have you been? And the man, you know, so simply answered, he said, well, I've been in Rome, I've been in Florence. And then he said, but I realized that at that moment I had been far from God. And that was the effect that going to confession had on this man, going to confession to Padre Pio. He became aware that his life had to change. And Padre Pio had that kind of effect on people. I invite you now to listen to an interview between Raymond Arroyo, who's our reporter, and Mario Bruschi. Mario is a devotee of Padre Pio and a promoter of Padre Pio's prayer groups. He had the experience of going to confession to Padre Pio, and he shares that with us.
What first drew you to Padre Pio?
My visit to Padre Pio in 1957. I went there to see him. I brought my mother there. She literally dragged me there, because she wanted a special grace from Padre Pio.
To San Giovanni Rotondo.
To San Giovanni Rotondo. I went there to San Giovanni Rotondo with my mother, and we stayed there for about 2 weeks, and during that time, I went to confession to Padre Pio, and my mother went to confession also.
What did he say to you when you went to confession with Padre Pio?
My number was called. I went. I sat in the chair. In the corner was Padre Pio. Suddenly the man before me was told by Padre Pio to leave, to get out, you know, very abruptly. I looked, I thought, I said, my God, what's happening here? He's kicking that fellow, asking him to leave. I said, I got really scared. And Padre Pio is going like this to me, yeah. And I'm looking at Padre Pio and I'm going, hey, Father, me? To see him, yeah. Then I look at the fellow next to me and I say to him, I tell him, listen, buddy, if you want to go ahead of me, it's all right with me.
I bet you did.
And he said, hey, no, she was. No, I'm not going to go. You go. We saw you. So I went inside. I knelt down and I was trembling. My hands were shaking. He grabs my hands and he says, calmity. Calm yourself, my son. So he started telling me my sins. I said, well, did you do this? Did you do that? And then
he told you,
that was telling me what I had done wrong, and so, and I said, yes, Father, I did. I did this, yes, Father, and that. But he was so kind, so gentle. And the experience of being in the presence of this man is something I'll never forget as long as I live.
What was it like?
In him, I saw holiness. I felt like I was in the supernatural world, and when I was in his presence, I didn't want to leave him. That's how great you felt just being there next to him. And a beautiful aroma about Father Pio was so sweet and so different. He had his eyes, that was it. His eyes, the deep penetrating black eyes, it's like he was looking into my soul.
So we've just seen a wonderful interview in which Mario Bruschi shared his experience with Raymond Arroyo, an experience that, as you can see, changed his life. He waited many days to go to confession to Padre Pio, and he realized that he had to change his whole life. Padre Pio had an amazing gift, which he used in the confessional. It was a gift we call reading hearts. It was kind of a charismatic gift that God gave to him. And with this gift, he could almost see into a person's soul, to see their sins, to see their life, how they were really doing. And he used that gift. One time, a couple decided to go to confession to Padre Pio, but they were just mocking the sacrament. They were just making up sins. And first, the husband went first, and he made up a few sins. There was no real intent to confess. And Padre Pio began to tell this man his sins. He began to tell them what they were, when he committed them, how often he did them. And the man was in shock. Then his wife came into the confessional, and Padre Pio did the same thing. He told her what her sins were, when she committed them, how often, whatever was involved in those sins. And this couple left San Giovanni deeply shaken. But the grace of God worked on them. Padre Pio must have been praying awfully hard for them, because a couple of days later, they were so overwhelmed with sorrow for what they had done, they came back and made good confessions to Padre Pio. And Padre Pio was even apologized to them for the almost roughness of manner with which he had treated them, because he wanted to let them know that he knew they were only making a mockery of the confessional. So people, in many times, who waited for days when it came their turn to go into the confessional, they couldn't go, some of them. They were afraid what Padre Pio would see in their heart, what he would say to them. I remember a young priest who told me he had an experience with Padre Pio, and not in the confessional, but he said he was waiting in line with a number of priests and brothers, religious, who were talking to Padre Pio privately. And he had come there, he was a student in the seminary at the time, but he didn't have permission from his superiors to go there. But he told me he had a whole list of questions he wanted to ask Padre Pio. And as he was watching the priest ahead of him, Padre Pio was scolding the priest for not doing his priestly responsibilities, not carrying them out properly. And then it dawned on this young man, young brother, he was a brother at the time, he realized to himself, he says, Padre Pio is going to know I'm here without permission. And if he's scolding that priest ahead of me, he's certainly going to have some words for me. So this young brother went up to Padre Pio. He simply knelt down, asked for Padre Pio's blessing, and then went right on. He didn't even ask any questions. He was afraid what the Padre would say to him. And that happened to a number of people. Also, too, Padre Pio, used another gift that he had, a gift called the gift of bilocation, which we're going to deal with in another segment. This gift allowed him to appear in different places in the world. And he frequently assisted the dying by hearing their confessions. We know, for example, that Padre Pio was at the bedside of a bishop, Paolo Schinazzi of Benevento, Italy. And he was the bishop who ordained Padre Pio back in 1910. And Padre Pio was at his bedside to assist him. We also know that in many other times that Padre Pio would appear in different places in the world, assisting those who were dying, as well as also praying for the dying. He had a great concern, again, to assist those who were in their last agony, to assure that they would enter the kingdom of heaven. We know that in one case, he was going down into the chapel, and he met a friar, and he asked the friar to go with him. And one of the kings of England was dying at the time, and he asked the friar to pray with him. The friar didn't know who they were praying for, but when they finished praying in the chapel, as they were leaving, Padre Pio said to this other friar, he said, "We just prayed for the King of England. He's dying." And the friar said to him, "Well, Padre Pio, I heard he was ill yesterday, but then I heard he got better." And Padre Pio said, "No, he just died." And sure enough, the next day, they read in the newspaper that the King of England had passed away just at the precise time that Padre Pio was there in the chapel praying for him. God had inspired him to pray for the King of England. And the reason Padre Pio said he was inspired to pray for that king was that when that king became King of England, you know, the King of England is also the head of the Anglican Church, that particular king refused to take to make a statement denouncing the Catholic Church. He wouldn't do that. And God remembered that, and he asked that Padre Pio pray for the soul of that king. And we can only hope that he entered the kingdom of heaven. So Padre Pio used the beautiful gift and ministry of the confessional to reconcile many, many other souls to him. But this wasn't the only way he was a spiritual father. We're going to take a break now, and when we come back, we're going to look at many other ways in which Padre Pio reached out to those who came to him. He was truly a spiritual father to all his spiritual children. Padre Pio primarily affected my dedication to confession and my return to the church.
I think that it was through his intercession that I was able to come to the realization and to be able to go and have a good confession. And you know, it was like a cleansing process. Padre Pio is a sign for the church. It's a sign of God's love for us, especially because of reconciliation. As we all know, he spent many hours in confession. And I guess if he was known for anything, it was for that, for bringing many souls to God.
I would then think about, oh yeah, I remember that sin that happened so many years ago. I remember this sin that happened so many years ago. I want to come to confession. This went on for about 6 months, and then my soul, I felt like my soul was refreshed, and I felt like things were much better.
Welcome back to our program on Padre Pio. We're talking today about his being a spiritual father to many. We looked at his role, wonderful and fruitful role in the confessional, but his spiritual fatherhood extended beyond the confessional. He gave spiritual direction to many, many people, obviously in the confessional itself, but also through correspondence. He received many letters. In fact, they estimate that at one point he was receiving more letters than any other private citizen in the world. When he died, they had two rooms at the friary just filled with letters, with about 2 million letters that he had received in correspondence from people from all over the world. He used to have to have friars from all different countries, different language backgrounds, about 8 of them or so, as his secretaries to answer the mail that he would receive. And many times these friars would come to him with letters with questions in it, wanting to know what Padre Pio should say, and Padre Pio would tell them what to say before the friar had a chance to tell them what the question was. So Padre Pio gave spiritual direction to many of his spiritual children. Another area where Padre Pio showed himself a spiritual father was in the building of the House for the Relief of Suffering. This was that great big hospital that he wanted to have to serve the needs of all the sick there in that part of southern Italy. It was the largest and most modern hospital, in that part of Italy at the time. And it was meant to give, assistance, medical assistance for free, especially to the very poor. In my own community, the Friars of the Renewal, we built our Padre Pio shelter. We named it after him, our overnight shelter for homeless men, because of Padre Pio's great concern for those who were in need. Another area where Padre Pio showed his great love for others was in his prayer groups. Padre Pio had started forming prayer groups when he was all the way back in the early years of his priesthood, informal prayer groups. But in 1947, he wanted to unite all of these prayer groups together so that he might implore the Lord for his mercy for mankind that appeared to be forgetting him. Dr. Sanguinetti, who worked with him in the hospital, also helped to coordinate all of these different prayer groups in about 20 or more Italian cities. And the faithful would meet each month with the consent of the bishop and the guidance of a priest. And the purpose was to pray for the Pope, to pray for Padre Pio's ministries, to pray for world peace, to pray for their own intentions. Padre Pio was concerned that they be guided properly, so he insisted that they always had to have a priest as their guide, as their director, so that they would always be in union with the church. Padre Pio envisioned these groups, quote, as a tremendous chorus linking heaven to earth and men to God. When people asked him the purpose for his organizing the prayer groups, he answered, to bring souls to the Lord, to encourage them to pray together with Jesus. And he insisted that this certainly displeased Satan. By the time Padre Pio died, his army, his prayer army, numbered over 700 groups in 14 countries with a membership of more than 70,000 members. That all the prayer groups of Padre Pio that are a blessed gift to the church even now. Another area where Padre Pio showed his great spiritual fatherhood was his concern and compassion for people who came to him with all kinds of problems. People came from all over, as well as those who wrote to him with problems and so on. He would remember them at Mass. He would pause long periods of time at the commemoration of the living and the dead to pray for the souls of those who died, and maybe people would write to him or tell him about their relatives who had died, or for the intentions of the living. And one example was a woman who came to him whose husband had been unfaithful to her. He was in love with another woman, and the woman pleaded with Padre Pio to pray for her husband. Well, Padre Pio prayed for that man, and not only did he stop his adulterous union with that other woman, but he couldn't even stand to hear her name any longer. He had a total change of heart. Another woman came to Padre Pio, and she said to him, Padre Pio, please pray for my husband. He's unemployed. He's been out of work for a long time. And Padre Pio said to her, well, what kind of work does your husband do? And the woman said, he's an undertaker. Well, I don't know what Padre Pio did for that. Another example of Padre Pio helping people, and sometimes he helped them at a distance. Maybe they sent their guardian angel to him, as he would always tell them, if you need me to pray for something in a hurry, send me your guardian angel. Well, there's a story told about a woman who had been in San Giovanni Rotondo to see Padre Pio. Well, I guess she had stayed longer than she anticipated, and her visa, her passport, had expired. So she didn't have a passport to leave Italy. And she was traveling north, and I guess going into Germany or Switzerland, somewhere there at the border. Well, when she got to the border, the guard looked at the passport and said to her, you know, lady, your passport is expired. You can't go through here. So what did the lady do? She knelt down on the ground, and she began to pray. And it was right near where the guard was standing there at the border. In fact, she was blocking traffic from coming through. So the guard went over to her, and he said to her, lady, what are you doing? She said, I'm praying. And he said, well, what are you praying for? Who are you praying to? She says, well, I'm praying to the priest who I just left there in southern Italy. He can help me. He can do anything. He can appear right here. He can even make you drop dead. She said to the guard, well, with that, the guard said, all right, lady, you can go right through. So I'm sure the prayers of Padre Pio were helping that poor woman in her unusual situation of distress. But he was always kind to people, and I have to tell you one story, which is one of my favorite stories of Padre Pio. I heard this from Father Alessio. It dealt with a family that went to see Padre Pio there at San Giovanni Rotondo. They were staying for a few days around the friary, visiting the friary each day, staying in the locality. Well, there were two little boys and a little girl. Well, as you know, Padre Pio, living in the friary was... it was cloistered, which meant no women could go into the cloister. So Padre Pio, he took the two little boys in the family to his room, and he gave them candy, and he gave them medals, and so when they came down, they were bragging to their little sister about the candy and the medals that Padre Pio had given, holy cards and the like. Well, that little girl was resourceful. She wasn't going to be outdone. The next day, when the family came back, that little girl somehow got into the cloister, and she got through a door, which is usually guarded day and night by one of the friars. Well, she slipped past that, and somehow she managed to get up to the second floor, and she found Padre Pio's room, and she stood outside that room, if I remember correctly, for about 2 hours. Many friars go back and forth in the corridor. Nobody did. Nobody saw this little girl. Well, Padre Pio came up to his room after lunch, and he was walking down the corridor, and he saw this little girl standing by his door, and he was shocked. He said to her, how did you get up here? And then he said to her, I know you. You came yesterday to the friary, didn't you? And she said, yes. And he said to her, what's your name? And the little girl said, Padre Pio, my real name is Francesca, but today... it's Francesco. And with that, Padre Pio gave that little girl candy, holy cards, and medals, and she bragged to her brothers how many wonderful things Padre Pio had given to her. So Padre Pio certainly had a great love. All who came to him, very sensitive to all their needs. And we'll continue to look at the life of Padre Pio in our next segment when we look at some of the extraordinary gifts that God gave to Padre Pio. We're going to begin with the gift of miracles. We're going to see that Padre Pio was one of the greatest miracle workers in the history of the Catholic Church. God bless you.